Hi everyone, nice to see you all. We've been in Spain for a few weeks and we're just going to, Mark, I want to share a little funny story, or a cute story, a anointed story that happened to her when we were there.
Oh, it's lovely to be back, being away 7 weeks. It's unbelievable how the time flies, but so nice to see everybody. I just wanted to share one thing that happened while we were there. We were living in this apartment on the third floor, and there was a balcony, and every day you would hear the children coming by from different schools. You could hear them all chatting away. So I used to run out to the balcony, and I was like, I always wanted to try and get their attention and just wave to the little children as they were going by. And they were always just busy chatting and walking along. And then one morning, the children were coming again, and I went to the balcony, and the children came. And this particular day, there was a teacher at the front and a teacher at the back. And then this particular day, all the children stopped outside our balcony on the other side of the road. The teachers had stopped the group of children. And so they just stopped there. And I was waiting to see if they would look up and wave. But Martin was there, and he just clapped his hand, like, dead loud, so they'd get their attention. You know, so then they all turned round like this, and they're all looking, and these boys were shouting, "Hola, hola!" And we were like, "Hola, hola!" And then as I was looking down, waving, there was one little girl. They were about 8 years old, I think, these children. And one little girl, she just like looked at me, and she just went. And like I was like, "Wow." It's like she spoke to me like to say, look up to God, you know, with your eyes. Look up to heaven, look up like this, you know. And then I just went like that, saying that to when she went. Then I like did a heart and she did a heart back to me. But it was just like, you know, just off God really. And I thought it was an encouragement for the children, you know, how God uses the children in many different ways. And she didn't, you know, she didn't know me, but obviously, you know, the Lord used her, and she probably maybe didn't even know what she's doing, or maybe she did. But for me, that was like at the very beginning of our time there, he was saying to me, look up to me, look up to heaven. You know, I was thinking of that psalm where it says, lift your eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that's where our help comes from, like Tim was sharing there. You know, we can try and do things in our own strength and think, all right, I'll just water the garden. But actually, you know, we need to look to him because he's the one who does it all and he's the one who gives us the help. Okay, bless you all. Nice to see you.
Amen. Thank you, Margaret. Gorgeous. Praise the Lord. Gloria a Dios. Yeah, even though we're fluent in Spanish now, I'm going to speak in English. We're fluent in Spanish hand signals. It was gorgeous being there with the church in Spain, though, and seeing them do the family service exactly like us, and have the little Spanish puppets. They've got a little Ellie instead of Jake, and it's brilliant, all standing in a big circle saying the Lord's Prayer and just doing it exactly like us. Absolutely gorgeous. So anyway, I'd just like to share with you a few thoughts from Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit, please speak to us this morning. Famous day of Pentecost, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, and one sat on each of their heads. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I just thought of this thought about fire and speaking to you about fire and just using the letters of fire like F-I-R-E, which of course is the original language that the Bible was written in. Huh? Anyway, I thought of speaking to you about faith and intercession and revival and evangelism, which is the essence of fire and what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes and brings us faith. Faith is just so absolutely important. It's the bedrock of Christianity. We're not a religion. Jews go to heaven, if they go to heaven. They go to heaven by keeping the whole Ten Commandments and all of the law, but not Christians. And all the world religions claim to reach whatever their goal is, freedom from pain, if you're a Jew, if you're a Buddhist, or, you know, non-existence, if you're a Hindu, you're aiming to get to the place where you're out of suffering, that's it. Or if you're a Muslim, you believe in some sort of Muslim heaven, and if you get there, you've got to keep the rules and go to the mosque and do the fasting and give to the poor and do all these things. If you're a woman, you actually can't get to the Islamic heaven, just so. But you're glad you're Christian, aren't you? All of those things, according to the Bible, are rubbish. And the Bible very clearly says that there's only one way to heaven and one way to be saved. And it's far easier, in one sense, than all world religions, because it's by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, you have to believe this good news that I'm telling you right now. You have to believe it, really believe it, with all of your heart. You have to believe the good news that God loves you, that he sent Jesus to die for your sins on the cross, that Jesus rose again 3 days later, and he's back in heaven, and he's coming back again, and he's going to take you to heaven to be with him if you want. That's how you're saved as a Christian. You're saved by faith, by believing in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? Actually, you know, when you say the creed, I believe in God the Father, I believe, that's great. It's important what you say you believe. It's very important. And to say you believe in Jesus is absolutely vital to your friends, to people at work, to other people. Do you believe in Jesus? Because if you do, you say it. I believe in Jesus is something you say. You're not ashamed of him. You dare say it because you really do believe. But it's not just something you say. It's something you choose. Faith is a relationship with God, and not a casual relationship. It's like a marriage. It's a relationship where you choose and someone else chooses as well. When me and Margaret got married, we stood at the front of church, and the vicar said to her, or whoever he was, wasn't a vicar, it was a pastor, said to her, "Do you take Martin to be your husband?" And she said, you know, "Will you take Martin to be your husband?" She said, "I will." You lucky, lucky. And then it said to me, "Will you take Margaret?" And I said, "I will." It's exactly the same with Christianity. On the cross, Jesus was saying, as he died and shed his blood, he was saying, "I will take Tim. I will take Steph. I will take Sally. I will take Andy. I will take Akbar. I will take Margaret. I will. I'll take Benji. I'll take all of you. I will. Lord, will you take Martin? He's a sinner. He's a failure. He's done lots of wicked things in his life, and left to himself, he'll do even more wicked things. Will you take him on board? Will you pay for his sins? Will you die for him? Will you carry him through his life? Will you guarantee a place in heaven for him, even though he doesn't deserve it? Will you, Jesus?" I will. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you all. And he always says, "I will." His death on the cross is the great "I will." But then the camera spins round to you and me, brothers and sisters, to every person who ever hears this message. And then we have a choice, don't we? Martin, will you take Jesus as your saviour? Will you follow him? Will you believe in him? Will you live for him? Will you repent of your sins? Will you accept Jesus as the Lord of lords and King of kings, as the Son of the living God? Will you? It's a choice, isn't it? And you stand up, or you come to the front of church, or you lift your hands up and you say, "I will. Even though I know I'm weak and I'm a sinner and I'm going to fail many times, it doesn't matter. That's not what going to heaven's about. Going to heaven is about this. Will you receive Jesus? Will you believe?" Years and years ago, before Billy Graham, quite a famous evangelist came to England and actually had a meeting in Ayresome Park in Middlesbrough. He was quite a straight down the line evangelist. And at the end of his sermon, he said, I'm going to call, it was a meeting for men, actually, it was all men. And he said, I'm going to call you men to be men and to make a decision. He said, I want every one of you to stand up and say out loud whether you will accept Jesus Christ or whether you won't accept Jesus Christ. And you be a man and you make that decision today. It was totally silent. And one bloke stood up and said, I will. And another bloke stood up down there and said, I won't. And another bloke stood up and said, I will. I will, I will, I won't, I will, I won't, I will, I will, I won't. Hey, you know what? That's just the truth. Until the whole of that football stadium had made the decision. And brothers and sisters, you have to make that decision too. You stand up and you're either saying you will or you won't. You either follow Jesus, you will believe or you won't. So let me ask you a question right now before we go any further. Will you? Will you accept that Jesus died for you on the cross? Will you take him as your Lord and Master? You can answer it now in your heart because he's listening. He's knocking at the door of your heart today and he's saying, answer please. Will you? Faith's a choice. Faith is also a mysterious thing that allows the power of God and miracles to happen in your life. When you believe something, you say it, I believe. But then you choose it as a relationship. Yeah, Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I want to be forgiven. I will accept that you died for me. I choose to believe it. Don't have to understand it all. I choose to believe the truth of what I'm hearing. I want to go to heaven. Count me in. I will. But then it's even more than that. Faith is what do you need? Jesus is here. He's alive. He's here. Do you believe Jesus is here this morning? Do you? Do you actually believe that Jesus Christ is right here this morning? You see, when you do, and you just, your faith just goes up one notch, two notches, then anything can happen. Then your life can be changed, then your body can be healed. Then all the miracles of Jesus start to work. Familiarity stops that. When you go to church every week, you get used to it. Oh, I wonder who's speaking this week. Let me tell you who's speaking this week, the Holy Spirit. Guess who's speaking next week? The Holy Spirit. God is speaking every week. But you get so used to church and so used to one another. Those couple of notches of the faith drop. And then miracles don't really happen. It didn't even happen for Jesus when he went home. When he'd been away, like me and Margaret, and came home to Nazareth, he started to preach and he'd been doing awesome miracles all over the place. But when he came back to preach in Nazareth, we're like, oh, this is Jesus. Hey, I know Jesus. I went to school with him. I know his sisters. I know his brother. Oh, it's just Jesus. He's no one, him. I know he's a carpenter. Who do you think he is? In fact, they got knocked with him. They got angry with him. He tells you in the gospel. Got really angry with him. Threw him out of the town. We're going to throw him off a cliff. Really angry. Funny, isn't it? How you get offended. Familiarity breeds contempt. And brothers and sisters, it can be the same for us. You know, you go to church, used to it. Yeah. What happens next? Oh, yeah. We go out now for a sandwich. Hang on a minute. Is God here or not? Jesus is here. Try and notch up just one little notch because faith is where miracles happen. Me and Stu were in Ragworth once doing a healing meeting and there was this woman, the old woman on two sticks. She came in on two sticks and sat on the front row just down here. And there was a bit of a platform and she had absolute jam jar glasses on, didn't she? Real jam jars. You know, she literally couldn't see a thing. She sat on the front row. And halfway through the meeting, we were going to pray for people's eyes. I felt the Holy Spirit say, pray for people's eyes. So I said, if there's anyone here with weak eyes and you want God to touch your eyes and heal you, stand up now. And she stayed sat down. I said, anyone with bad eyes? And she was like that. Looking around, but she didn't stand up. And I thought she must be deaf as well. So I said, excuse me, dear, we're going to pray for people's eyes. And she said, I've come for my knees. She said, I've come for my knees. I said, all right, then, whatever. Do you know something? That's faith. That's faith. Do you know that night, both her knees were healed. She didn't need to go to the hospital for new knees. She left her sticks on the front. On the front, we carried them out when we cleared the building. She left her sticks on the front row, and she walked out on brand new knees, because that's faith. Isn't that wrong with my eyes? I've come for my knees. Brothers and sisters, what have you come for? Faith is something real. When we were in Spain, we were at a birthday party, this kid's birthday party in the park. You know, you're always meeting loads of people who you can't remember or don't know. And we were with this family, and this guy came up to me and said, I would like you to come to my house for some food. Because he was Pakistani. No. He said, I would like you to come to my family for some food. I said, oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'd love to. And he said, you don't remember me, do you? Gringo. I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. He said, 15 years ago, you came to my house for some food. I said, is it still there? No, and I said, oh, he said, but you don't remember? I said, I'm sorry, I don't. He said, you were with Roberto. I said, oh, yeah, I used to go all over with Roberto, but I said, I'm sorry, we've been to that many houses for food and people. Just being honest, I can't remember you, but thanks, we'd love to come to your house for food. He said, 15 years ago when you were in my house. Hold on. Oh, yeah, but he got his wife. That was Spanish. Got his wife and his son over. He was 14 years old. Got his son over. Ezekiel, he's called. Ezekiel, come here, come here. He said, 15 years ago, you're in my house. And my wife was pregnant. And the doctor said, big problems. And you must have an abortion. Because you're going to die. And the baby's going to die. But you and Roberto, you prayed for my wife. And I remember you prophesied and said, this baby will be born perfect. Trust the Lord and don't be afraid. And he said, here he is, Ezekiel. He was crying, his wife was crying. He said, praise God. And I thought, wow, praise God. Faith. Faith for me to dare say it, but real faith for that woman to believe it and not go for that abortion. That's courage and faith. Faith's a real thing. She believed the word of God. She believed the promise of God. And so a miracle happened. And Ezekiel stood there. You know, we still haven't been to their house yet, but we'll go. My place is still warm on the table. Faith. And then there's intercession. Oh, let me just read you this. This is absolutely awesome. I was just reading this quote the other day from this guy in the Roman Empire, Cyprian, in the 3rd century. He writes a letter to his friend. And he says, this seems a cheerful world, Donatus, when I view it from this fair garden under the shadow of these vines. But if I climb up the mountain and looked out over the wide lands, you know very well what I would see. Brigands on the high roads, pirates on the seas, in the amphitheatres, men murdered to please the applauding crowds. And under all roofs of every home, misery and selfishness. It really is a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world. Yet, in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and holy people. They have discovered a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of this sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are the Christians and Donatus. I am one of them. He's telling his mate he's become a Christian. Is that awesome? I am one of them. Are you one of them yet? Make sure you're one of them. Because all the pleasures of this world mean nothing. Put your faith in Jesus. Trust him, believe him, follow him, and you'll have the good life like I've had. I've had the good life. I've had the best life you could ever have. Because I believed in Jesus when I was young, when I was Benji's age, or a bit younger than Benji. Started following him, me and Margaret, for 40 years, more than 40 years now. Never stopped. Been through hell and high water, but always with Jesus. It's the best life ever. I haven't got any regrets, only my sins, but they're all forgiven anyway. Brothers and sisters, follow Jesus. Believe in him. He loves you. He's for you. Put your faith in him. And expect miracles because he's alive and he's real and he's here. And if you can just notch that faith up from I do believe, I will believe to I believe right now. Listen, what do you need? What miracle do you need in your life? Financial miracle? Relationship miracle? Physical miracle? Guidance to know what to do? God's real. Ask him now. Why don't we do that before we move on? Let's just ask God. Ask him in the quiet. Ask him for your miracle. And believe, brothers and sisters, believe. And then there's intercession. Intercession is prayer. Prayer is the best thing you could ever do. And the best way to pray is to pray every day, regularly. That's what the Jews did. That's what the early Christians did. The Jews prayed 3 times a day. 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and 3 o'clock at 12 o'clock, yeah, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They prayed 3 times a day. It was morning and evening prayer with a little bit at lunchtime. They did that every day. They get together, and what they do is they'd say some praises of God's name, and then they'd read a psalm, and they'd have some intercessions. They'd ask God for what they wanted. Then they'd sing a hymn, done. And they'd do that 3 times a day. The church still does it. It's called morning and evening prayer. I know some of you do it. In the Anglican Church, they do common prayer, Orthodox Church, Catholic Church. Most of the church have always stuck to that same pattern. And you see it in Acts of the Apostles a lot. This is the day of Pentecost I've just read. What time did Pentecost happen? 9 o'clock in the morning. They were gathered for prayer. What were they doing? Morning prayer. What time was it when Peter had that vision on the roof when he went up to pray? 12 o'clock noon, you're told. What time was it when Peter and John healed the lame man walking into the temple? 3 o'clock, you're told. They were going for 3 o'clock prayers. 3 o'clock, they still went to the temple. Isn't that amazing? They went to the temple even though they had so many new converts. 2,000 people have just become Christians in one day. Imagine how busy they were trying to explain about Jesus, trying to baptize them, trying to tell them what was going on. But it doesn't matter how busy you are, brothers and sisters. Pray. Stop and pray. It doesn't have to be a long time, but it has to be regular. Pray, pray. When Cornelius was in his house praying, and an angel came to him and said, get Peter, he'll tell you the gospel. That angel came at 3 o'clock as he was doing the 3 o'clock prayer. When Peter came back to his house and it was 3 o'clock, we're told over and over again these times, very important times, Jesus was nailed on the cross at 9 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, it went totally black. And at 3 o'clock, he died and it was all done. Regular prayer. It's interesting that the early church kept that up. They didn't go to the Jewish temple and buy a lamb anymore. They knew they didn't need any lambs and sacrifice. They knew they had the lamb. Jesus had died for them. He was the Lamb of God. They'd never bothered with the sacrifices. But they did keep up the prayers and the psalms and regularly praying. Brothers and sisters, regularly pray. Change your life. Change your life. Changes you, prayer. I remember one guy saying to me, I'm always so angry. I'm so angry when I get back from work and I'm angry with the kids and I'm angry with the wife and I kick the cat and sometimes I kick the wife and I'm angry with the cat and I'm angry. But And I said to him, well, why don't you pray before you get home? Oh, I don't have time, I don't have time. I said, yeah, you do. I said, pull the car over somewhere on the way home. Switch the engine off. Get your Bible. Open it. Read a psalm slowly. Ask God to give you peace. Forgive everyone at work. Repent of your sins. It'll take you 10 minutes. Take a deep breath. Start your car up again. Go home. Said you'd be 10 minutes late, but believe me, your wife won't mind. Because when you get in, you'll be a different you. Prayer? We need God, brothers and sisters. You're going to change. You're never going to change without God. It's not just meditation. It's a real God. You're speaking to God for help. You're asking your Father for help. You're praising God and thanking God. It's right. It's mental health. It's spiritual health. It's emotional health. It's physical health. Brothers and sisters, when you wake up in the morning, good morning, Father in heaven. Yeah. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I give this day to you. Please protect me, bless me, heal me, help me. Yeah, before you go to bed. Good night, Lord. Forgive me for the sins I've committed this day. I forgive everyone who's sinned against me. Bless my dreams, bless my sleep, bless my family. Do you think it means nothing? No, it means something. God answers those prayers. God hears those prayers, and things happen when we pray. Brothers and sisters, pray, 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 and your life will change. Do you want us to make decisions? Do you want us to make plans? Pray. Our faith isn't in ourselves. Our faith isn't in money. Our faith isn't in the world. Our faith is in the living God, Jesus. So pray. And the R is for revival and repentance, if you like. If you need to repent, repent. If you don't, revival. Revival is when the church suddenly changes. On the day of Pentecost, they were all praying. About 100 of them having a normal prayer meeting. About 100 of them. Suddenly, God comes, the Holy Spirit. And by the end of the day, there's 2,000 of them. That's called, well, throughout church history, it began to be called revival. When God breathes life into the church and something suddenly happens. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, us lot? And then a day later, a few thousand people. New converts. Can you imagine it? Because it happens over and over and over again in the church. That's how the church actually grows for real. Not ones and twos, but actually in huge chunks when God Almighty visits a nation. We could show you through church history how that's happened all the time. In the 1950s, 1952, there was a French Pentecostal pastor called Clement Le Clossac. Don't try and say that after you've had a glass of wine. Clement Le Clossac. He was from the north of France. He had a very little church. When he finished the Sunday service, there was three young people waiting for him outside. They were gypsies. They'd just become Christians. And they said to him, no one will baptize us because we're gypsies. Will you baptize us? He said, yeah, I will. I'll baptize you. And he took him to the river there and then, and he baptized these three young people who come to believe in Jesus. And they invited him back to their gypsy camp. And he was scared of dogs. And actually he was scared of gypsies. In the 50s, the gypsies were scary people all over Europe. Carried knives, big crime, lots of violence. And he was properly scared. He was a Pentecostal young pastor. And he said, I'll come, but will you try and look after the dogs? He said, yeah, we'll calm the dogs down. And they went, and there was loads of dogs, and the young people calmed the dogs down for him. And he got there, and all the guys came out, really aggressive. Who are you? What do you want? And he said, I've just baptized these young people. I've come to tell you about Jesus Christ. They said, we're not interested in any of that. We've got our own traditions, our own superstitions. Get out. And he said, is there anyone here who's sick? So he was a Pentecostal pastor. They said, yeah. He said, take me to them and I'll pray for them. And their mother was sick. She was the mother of the whole site. She's the one who did all the witchcraft, all the spells. She ran the whole place, the grandmother. and she was dying in this caravan. And he went inside and saw with his sunken eyes lying in this bed. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up. And she got up, healed, strong, well. She came out the caravan. Whoa! They were all absolutely shaken and shocked. But they listened to him then. And he preached to the campsite about Jesus. And do you know what? Every single one of those gypsies became Christians. There was a few hundred of them. And he baptized them all that day. And he started teaching them. And day after day, they started having meetings on this site. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other gypsies came. And they all listened to the miracle of the woman who was healed. And they all got prayer for healing. And they all got saved. And at the end of 2 weeks, he had 3,000 converts. 3,000 at the end of 2 weeks. Then he had a problem. He's got 3,000 gypsies just saved, and he's got a normal little church. So Clement Le Closac did a very brave thing. He resigned his job in the Pentecostal church, sold his house, bought a caravan, he's not a gypsy, and moved with them. He had to, because they were moving people. They were only there for a month or two. Then they were going to Bulgaria. Then they were going to France. Then they were going to Romania. Then they were going to Sweden. Then they were going to Holland. Then they were going, they did their tour, the European tour. They're always on it. And Clement Le Closac became their pastor. And every place they stopped, they preached the gospel and had a Christian meeting, Christian events. And then, and after 10 years, there was 30,000 converts. After 15 years, there was 50,000 gypsies saved. You can go online and see the photographs. Baptizing, baptizing, baptizing. He taught them to read and write. They couldn't read and write. He taught them the Bible. He taught them how to be Christian leaders. And he started having a group of pastors with him, helping him. Phenomenal. In the 80s, the early 80s, this wave of the Holy Spirit hit the gypsies in the UK. And many, many gypsies in Great Britain got suddenly saved. I remember hearing one gypsy pastor told me himself, who was in Scotland at the time in a campsite with only a few people there and a couple of Christians, him and his family. He said he was going to bed one night, and as he were all asleep, he heard a car coming onto the field. So he had a look, and a pair of headlights, and went outside to see who it was. And this was about midnight, and they pulled up, and there was a family, a gypsy family, all in tears. How can we find God? How can we be saved? How can we go to heaven? He was shocked. He was a bit afraid, shocked. Nothing happened to him like this in his life. And he told this family about Jesus, and they all believed. They're all praying and crying, and he tried to calm them down and said, listen, get in your caravan, go to sleep. We'll talk tomorrow, we'll talk tomorrow. And he went back into his caravan, lied in his bed, and his heart was beating, he said. I thought, flipping heck, what was that? What's happening? But he couldn't go to sleep. Do you know why? Because he saw some more lights coming. Now there was two cars, two families, all in tears, all desperate to find God, all driving to that campsite and didn't even know why. All night long they came, all night long. And do you know something? By the next morning, there was 2,000 gypsies saved on that site alone. It's revival. It's revival. I remember this gypsy pastor saying, revival will come to the mainline churches in the UK. It'll come. But when it does, it'll frighten you. The reality of God. They're in a house having a normal prayer meeting. Morning prayer. Lord, we thank you for your... There's a mighty rushing wind from heaven. Fire appears. This is Christianity, not a bit of church. Fire appears and lands on people's heads, and they all start speaking in Espanol. Different languages. They're all speaking different languages. It's absolutely supernatural. And they all start preaching about the end of that day. They're baptizing, bring another one. Baptizing 2,000 people. A few days later, 5,000. It's in Acts. Brothers and sisters, get ready. Get ready. Be ready yourself. Because you might be sat in the chair thinking, I'm no one important. Hey, any minute now, you're going to be leading hundreds and thousands of people. So get ready for revival, because it's coming. Revival is coming to Europe. The greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit the world has ever seen. And it's coming here first, to Britain. Well prophesied. So what should we do? Don't just get used to normal little bitty church, but in your heart, have faith. In your heart, pray. In your heart, repent. Get ready for God. And then the E is for evangelism. Just the power of the gospel. The good old gospel that just works in people's lives. Years ago, when I was traveling the world, I was in Mindanao in the south part of the Philippines. It's the most southern part of the Philippines. There's 7,000 islands in the Philippines, and the lowest one is Mindanao, big island. There's always trouble, always war, because there's always Islamic fighters fighting the Filipino army. It was ISIS, actually, but they didn't know who they were then. ISIS are in the jungle fighting the Filipino army, who are well-trained. They've been trained off the Americans. Filipino army are good. And we arrived, me, a doctor, and John Archer, the comedian, to go and do a tour of the island. The doctor was handing out medicine and treating the sick. I was preaching the gospel, and John was entertaining and getting a crowd and making balloons with the kids. As soon as we arrived in the airport, we knew there was something different, because the pastor met us with a gun belt on. A gun. He said, "Hiya, Pastor Bonnie. What's happened?" He said, "There's been a bit of trouble. There's been a... Overnight, there's been a ship landed on the island with lots of arms for the rebels. And it's all kicking off because they've got a load of new arms being delivered. So we thought we'd better be precautious because of you lot. They'll kidnap you, you know, and they'll try and get money off you, you know. Money for you. And, you could well die, you know. But we've took precautions. We've talked to the army and all that. So we're going to go a different way than we were going to go. And at the airport, there was an ambulance backed up to the doors with the doors open. And we got on the back of this ambulance. There was nothing in it. Nothing, just metal. And three little Filipino guys, all dressed in black with little backpacks on. We didn't even know who they were. We just got in and sat on the wheel arch, looking at each other. How long is this journey going to be? Actually, it was 11 hours over all sorts, you know. And me and John were nearly crying, you know. Nearly crying. So black and blue were bruises, but these guys just squatting the whole time, no problem, you know. And one of them opened his bag and got something out, and I saw inside grenades, a little machine gun, all sorts. Thought, ooh, there must be some sort of special dudes. And they took us to the Bible compound, and there were some soldiers there, some normal soldiers in uniform, and they said, "You're going to have a bodyguard each while you're here. This is your bodyguard, Martin. This is your bodyguard, John. This is your bodyguard. They're going to go everywhere with you, everywhere, even to the loo." They even came with us to the loo, which was slightly embarrassing. But we did become close. And we travelled all around different towns and villages, and we were making friends with the bodyguards. They were hearing us preach about Jesus, hearing us preach about Jesus. When we got up to this village, pretty near the end of the trek, a village that before we got there, you could only get there by horse, middle of nowhere, a communist village actually, all red flags and big angry blokes and big beards at the back of the crowd looking really narked at us. But we were preaching the gospel. And I was preaching the gospel this night, one little light hanging up. And I said, "If you want to give your life to Jesus, then you say, 'I will.' You give your life to him. You choose. You put your hand up now and show me that you want to give your life to Jesus. And it looked to me like the whole village did. And our bodyguards were at the back of the crowds with the machine guns and the grenades all around them and all that. And they put their hands up. And I thought, I wasn't sure the interpreter was saying what I was saying correct. So I said, put your hands down a minute. I said, can you just do this again? Make sure you really say what I'm saying. Look, only if you want to follow Jesus, only if you want to believe in him and live for him, and you're willing to repent of your sins, and you really mean business, then put your hands up. And the whole village put their hands up again, and the soldiers. And I said, put your hands down. I thought, I'd better do it one more time to check. I said, only if you're willing to die for Jesus. Made it as hard as I could. You might die, you might this, you might that. You've got to take up your cross and follow Jesus every day. Right, everyone who really wants to give their life to Jesus, lift up both your hands. The soldiers lift up both hands at the back. And then I believed, thought, oh, this is God now. The whole village got saved. And we prayed and the Holy Spirit came and they all started dancing. The soldiers were dancing, holding the machine guns, grenades swinging, dancing, full of joy, saved, you know, absolutely awesome. And then, you know, when I got home a few months later, I got an email off Pastor Bonnie saying, please come to my daughter's wedding. Huh? No chance. Please come to my daughter's wedding. Oh, and also, Martin, just to let you know, the soldiers are doing really well. They've stopped smoking, they've joined the church, and they've been baptized. Hallelujah. The power of the gospel. Just the preaching of it, the hearing it, the believing it is what changes your life. Brothers and sisters, let's stand. And me and Margaret will pray for you if you'd like prayer today for you to be healed or for you to be set free. Maybe today you need to be set free from something, some chains around you. And you don't know that you need Jesus to deliver you. Just lift up that need to him now and I'll just pray for you from here first. You know you're bound, you know you're in a prison and you want to be free. Just cry out to God now for him to save you. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I take authority now over every demon and every power of darkness controlling any person in this room. And I rebuke you, Satan, and command you to leave now. Now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we ask you, Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit to come on every one of us. Lord, it said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How wonderful. All of them and totally filled. That's what we want, Lord. We want that flame of faith and power and life to be on our heads. We don't just want to come to church. We want to be ready for whatever's coming to this country. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are coming to renew the church first. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you come to us now and help us to be ready. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.